Wow. One of the great benefits and blessings of a long pastorate, this is 31 years of seeing our children grow up. And so as I'm watching this group, there's a handful that we dedicated, handful that we got to visit in the hospital when they were born, a handful that we got to baptize. And I'm just telling you, I'm just so grateful for your children, so grateful for children's ministry, for Miss Donna, and what she's brought to our church as far as children's music is concerned, for Scott and Shelley, and all of those of you who work in the house and work at the square and have done so faithfully through the years. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm just telling you, just as a pastor, very, very moving, very, very grateful for you. Parents who want and desire to raise their children in the fear and instruction of God, and then to have these 18 or so young students, young preteens come before us and sing is such a great blessing to my heart, and I know to yours. And so I want to just give them another round of applause right now. Amen. All right. Ask God's blessing upon them today. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We're so grateful for worship this morning, just so grateful for your presence in our lives. Something, Lord, that we come to expect because you've promised your presence. You have promised that you would be with us forever. You promised to send your Spirit who would be with us forever. And Father, if you've come individually in our hearts, certainly as we gather corporately as the body of Christ, we can expect and anticipate the presence of God in our lives. The presence of God in this place. And we're so grateful for that. And may we not miss that presence this day. The presence of God that brings a word. The presence of God that brings peace. The presence of God that brings life. The presence of God that speaks over and over to us. Oh, may we not miss your presence today. And in your presence comes this great peace that we've been talking about, that we've been visiting about on Sundays. And so, God, I want to ask in Jesus' name that as we gather around your word, as we open the word, that you would show us wonderful things from it. Great and mighty things, you say in Jeremiah, that you desire to speak to our hearts. And Father, that we not just be hearers of the word today, that we be effectual doers by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit living in us. Father, I want to thank you that you said that the Holy Spirit would come upon us, that we would receive power, and in that power we'd be witnesses to the ends of the earth and at home, in any place in between. And I want to thank you that we get to give witness to you day after day, week after week, month after month, according to the power that's in us this day. So come, Lord, as we open the word, come visit us as we move through John chapter 20. We ask that you would be glorified and honored in it, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have you ever been scared to death? Raise your hand. Man, wow. I'm going to tell you, the scaredest, most fearful that I've ever been in my entire life, I was about a sophomore in high school, and there was a group of us guys that went to Mr. St. Clair's lake house in Mississippi. And I want to tell you, this lake house was beautiful. It was on a private lake. It was about 5, 6, 7 football field long. The cabin was beautiful. I mean, it had glass deck coming out on it. It was very, very secluded, this cabin in the woods. And we were working for Mr. St. Clair for a youth trip, a youth mission trip. And so there were several of us guys on this trip. There were about 10 of us on this trip. And most of us were younger. We were sophomores and freshmen in high school, a couple a little bit older, and a couple of college kids, and a couple of interns that came on this trip. And what we were task to do was to clear out a part of the lake. And so we would clear out that lake and work all day, and the next day we were going to fish on this lake. And so we were grabbing woodfall and trees and stuff that had gone on, and we worked really, really hard. And so we had gone to sleep that night, and I woke up about, it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning, with this horrible scream. And if I was to If I was to do that today, I'd get hoarse really quick. But I want to tell you, it was creepy. It was scary. And so I was on a cot, I said, did anybody hear that? And Bill French, never forget, he said, yeah. And it's been going on for the last 2 hours every 20 minutes. And by this time, we're stirring, and I'm going to tell you, every time this blood-curdling cry came out across this lake and echoed, I want to tell you, I was afraid. We were shaken. Finally, we yelled out to Mr. St. Clair, Mr. St. Clair, Mr. St. Clair. We weren't getting up. We were all staying right here where we were. We weren't walking in front of the window. And I was, Mr. St. Clair, Mr. St. Clair, did you hear that? He said, no, boys, I hadn't heard anything. Go back to sleep. It's all okay. So all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, this scream, blood-curdling scream, goes out over the lake again, and we say, Mr. St. Clair, and there's a pause. He goes, what? I said, do you hear that? Yes. Do you know what it is? No. Are you scared? Yes. So he gets up, and we're flashing lights over all over the lake, and I'm telling you, we're hearing it, okay? And so we get back to bed, and all of a sudden, it goes again. Well, I'm just going to tell you, when fear comes over you, you don't think right, okay? Because there were a couple of older guys in the cabin that we didn't know were not in the cabin, okay? Right. And we didn't realize it. Now, the older guys, the interns, they were in another room, and it was locked, and they were just dead asleep. But we didn't think about the other two that were kind of in the kitchen area where there was another little place to spend the night with beds. And so we didn't check on them, okay, for some reason. I want to just say it's because when fear gets a hold of you, you don't think rationally. We didn't think rationally. I don't know. In these days, we would have thought it was a Bigfoot. Never heard of a Bigfoot back then. But I want to tell you, it was frightening. It's the most frightening I've ever been in my entire life. And so a little bit later, the front door starts to jingle, and we all get up together and go to the front door, and it's these two guys laughing at us and making fun of us. And thinking, what were you thinking? Well, we were just too scared to think, right? Have you ever been there? Petrified. Now here's the thought. The thought is that we were petrified over what? Nothing. We were petrified over nothing. We were fearing nothing. There was nothing to be afraid of on that lake that night. It was all assumption. It was all a thought that, oh, we're in danger. Oh, there's something going on in this lake. Oh, there was nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to be angst about. And I want to just say this again, as we've been talking about peace over the last several weeks, is most of the things that we worry about, fret over, are afraid of, are panicking over, are things that ultimately are nothing. They're just the assumption that you're going to lose something, or there's just the assumption that there's this great danger. And we see it all the time. We see it all the time. We see it when we lose the job. We see it when there's uncertainty in the government and the history, which I'm going to tell you, from the very beginning of history, there's always been uncertainty, right? I mean, just right. I think it's raining again, okay? All right. Can you turn me up a little bit? No. There's always been uncertainty. There always will be in a fallen world. The only time that it was never uncertain was when it was perfect. It was perfect. And then sin entered the world. And sin is still in the world. And I just want to say that life is uncertain. You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago. I talked about this great fruit called peace that seems to be so elusive to believers. The elusive fruit of peace. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those fruits of the Spirit. And I've often said it's peace is so elusive. And I want to just tell you this. If you're in Christ Jesus, the fruit of peace is not elusive. It's not elusive. It's available right now, right here, whenever right now, right here is. It might be on a lake in a cabin in the woods where your mind is just reeling over something that you don't understand, something that you all of a sudden are frightened of, something that is just out there. All of a sudden, I want to just say, peace is available in your most trying time, in your most time of anxiety. It is available for you. What I find really great about this passage of scripture in John chapter 20 is that you have a group of disciples who have followed Jesus for 3 years. They have been in situations in their lives with Jesus, situations that could produce and have produced fear in their lives. But time after time after time, they saw Jesus rise up to the occasion, just in his own way, in his own kindness and love, rebuke whatever it was out there, rebuke it, take care of it, and bring a certain amount of great peace to his disciples. And this is what he does again. He does it again in this passage that we're looking at, the resurrection words of Christ. And we're going to be on peace, just one peace unto you, two more Sundays, okay? And I want to just read where we're headed. And I wanted to read where we are. 19 says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, watch, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now I want to just say again, as we talked a little bit ago, about the presence of God. If Jesus is present in your life, you have everything that you need to face anything in this life that comes your way. Amen. I saw, I heard one amen. You have everything that you need. If he is present, you got what Jesus has. I just believe that with all my heart. I believe it. And you know, I see it in my life. I see the growth in this life of mine that has a propensity to worry, that has a propensity to fear, that has a propensity to go places in my mind that I should never ever go. I'm it. I'm that guy with the propensity to worry and to struggle. But I just gotta tell you, there's something happening in my life in these days that God is bringing such a peace because of what I believe about Jesus and what he says. Because you can believe it when Jesus appears and says, peace be unto you. It's a done deal. It's a finished deal. He's in your life and he's saying, peace be still. Listen, that's what's going to happen. All you got to do is hear it, and all you got to do is believe it. Believe me. Believe the word. It's available right now. Sometimes it comes in such a way that you weren't even expecting it. You remember that? You saw the situation, you saw it, and you just had the peace of God all over you. You know, I'm a guy that hates to be inconvenienced. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Are y'all like that? Trigger's not here, but Trigger and I were driving back from prison on Wednesday night. And we were on the road, a stretch of road from Jonesboro in Ferry, Texas, 1602, okay? And that place is desolate. And there's no cars, there's no traffic. And I remembered that I needed to put a text out to the guys that were going to be at Bible study the next morning at Tom Brooks's place every Thursday morning, 7 o'clock. And he texts back and he said, hey, I got company. You gotta go somewhere else tomorrow. And so I'm in the midst of looking at that text while I'm driving with Trigger. And I look up and there is a black Angus cow right smack dab in the middle of this road. And so when I slow down to 85, no, I'm only kidding. It was right on you, on us. I'm gonna tell you, it was dark. Didn't have my lights on. I didn't have my brights on, and so we dodged that cow, but that cow grazed my car, and took off the side mirror. Someone said, "Did you stop?" I said, "No, I just kept going and texted." No, my kid. No, I just kept. We just kept going. Don't ask me why, okay? And I hope insurance agent isn't listening. No, I'm kidding. Don't ask me why. I just kept going. And I got to Hyco, to where I put, where Trigger got in his car. But I couldn't open my car. And so he got out. I went on home, crawled out the passenger side, went over, looked at the damage. And went to bed. And I'm just going to tell you this. Usually, I am fit to be tied about this kind of stuff. And I've got such a peace about it that John Ann is saying, "You're too lax about this. You're too lax, you're too lax, you're too lax." I don't know what's happening to me. It's not that I don't care, because I do care. I called the guy that night and got the insurance stuff going and all of that. I don't feel inconvenience. I don't feel troubled. I don't feel struggled. I mean, the week before, I had to kill a rattlesnake at the house. The week before that, a bat flew out of the fireplace. So I went from a bat to a rattlesnake to a cow. And I told staff the other day, I'm going to go Bigfoot hunting in the fall, you know. But I'm just saying that I've had these kind of circumstances going over and over and over. This morning I woke up and knew that the creek was overflowing. And I was just wondering, am I going to get to church this morning? I go down at 7 and it's flooded over. There's no way I can get over that creek coming out of our house. And then I go back again and I take pictures of it and I think, I'm not going to be able to go to church today. And you know, there's just something about going on in my life that there wasn't a fret, there wasn't a worry, there wasn't an anxiety about it. Matter of fact, one of my thoughts was, I get a snow day today, you know. And so I told John Ann, I'm going to get dressed, I'm going to go down and see if I can cross it, and then I'll head on to church. And of course, I'm here and I'm so glad I'm here. But let me just tell you, all the things that have been going over on, and just these little bitty things like Shelley talked about earlier, all those little bitty things that are usually just those things that just stick me in the eye like a thorn, all those little things that just begin to just, what am I going to do? What am I going to do today with this flooding? This just all ceases. It just all just kind of just slows down. It just all of a sudden, just in my own life, it just settles. And I'm so grateful. Because those of you who've known me over the years know, my brother still calls me Nervine, okay? It's just how I'm wired. But I want to say, if Jesus is in the middle of it, peace is right there available for you. No matter what your uncertainty holds, no matter what uncertainty there is. And I'm just saying, you know, over the last few weeks, compared to everybody, a lot of other folks that are going through things, you know, I think about Les and his deal with what he's been going through. I think about Zane Miller, who's ruptured appendix and he's still in the hospital after 22 days. You know, I think about Fanny and what she's gone through with the broken hip. I know I'm missing some folks. But I'm just saying that there's some things that have been happening over the last several weeks in our church. Lynn's mom, right over here, Lynn's mom over in San Angelo, lost a leg this week, had to take a leg off. And he came up to me a little bit ago. She just wouldn't believe the peace that she has in the midst of this leg that is now off. Some of you have gone through really upheaval times in your life. I mean, some of you are on the edge of that, coming out of it. Some of you are moving into it. I just want to tell you, when Jesus says, "Peace be unto you," you can bank on it. You can bank that there is peace available from the Prince of Peace, Jesus, from the precarnate Christ, Jesus, Yahweh Shalom. I am your peace. It's available. And that's what he does when he comes to the disciples in this time of panic and uncertainty, this time of darkness in their mind. He comes along and he says, "Peace be unto you." We spoke a couple of weeks ago about being anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And here's the thought, if that peace of Jesus is guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, you can better believe that that is the peace that truly, truly comes. That is miraculous. That peace that is supernatural that God wants to give you right now, this moment. But this peace has a foundation. It has a deep, deep meaning. It's more than just guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's the peace that guards your soul. It's the peace of Jesus that came and preached himself to you, preached peace to you while you had where you received the foundation, the very foundation of peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you will live your life anxious about everything. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is this peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I think about of all the times of uncertainty, all the times that I did walk in angst, all the times that I did worry and fret about things that never ever happened, was somehow I forgot in those moments who Jesus really is in my life. That he is the Prince of Peace living in me. That's what I possess, that's what I have, that's what I'm defined by now. The peace of God in my life. And I want to say this because I believe with all my heart, this peace is so deep and it's so wide. This is the breadth of it, the depth of it is just absolutely, totally, totally stunning when you look at it. But to have peace of heart and peace of mind, you have to have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I want you to do is, as we look at this passage, when he says, "Peace be with you," he is saying, listen, you're walking in fear, you're walking in anxiety, you're walking in worry about the future, and I want you to know, here I am. He says, look, I'm showing you my hands, verse 20, I'm showing you my side. They're rejoicing when they see the Lord. I love this because you know what they say? In one moment, there's fear, there's angst, there's worry, there's post-traumatic stress. And Jesus comes in, he's in their midst, he's present, and he speaks the peace over them. He shows him who he is, that he's really the Christ. And what do they say? They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. You get to rejoice when you see Jesus, even in the midst of the very hard time. How many of you experienced that in your life? Didn't understand how in the world you could have so much peace. But this is what he promises, this peace. And this peace is huge. It's big. It's, first of all, a peace with God. Peace with God. John 14:27 says on the screen, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Listen, I'm leaving you a peace that is not of this world. Jesus says in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. In the world you're going to have uncertainty. In the world you're going to see things that bring you trouble. But let me tell you, take courage because I have overcome the world." I've overcome the world. I'm giving you a peace that is my peace. It's the peace that I walk in, Jesus would say, when I walk with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, the three persons, that one God, where they walk in unity and oneness. This peace is freedom. We sang of it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to disorder, confusion, or unrest of the soul. I have this ability to walk in relationships in this life peaceful with my brother and my sister, even with my enemy. It's that inward sense of calm. It's that inward sense of trust and oneness with God and oneness with others, that no matter what is being thrown in our way, I can come to have a safe and sound attitude in my heart, a tranquil content because of the peace that Jesus gives. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. I want you to notice about the peace that Christ comes to give you and me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Let's begin in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at the time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, that which is the law, the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Let me tell you what he's saying here. When you came to Christ, or when you come to Christ if you're not in Christ yet, when you came to Christ, you came to him believing his word about who you are without him. That because of your sin and because of your rebellion, you have need of a Savior. And you came to believe that Jesus 2,000 years ago came and died in your place. Now this rebellion, this being far off from God, far away from God, was a result of what Adam and Eve saw in the garden and did in the garden. The Bible says through the sin of one man, sin entered the whole world. And when Adam and Eve fell, they became separate from God. God had a plan. And the plan was to, over the next thousands of years, was to establish a people called Israel, that he would show promises, faithfulness, covenants on a sacrificial system with a law given to them. The problem is that that sacrifice could never ultimately atone for their sins. Never could. And that law could never, ever make them holy. All the law could do was expose your sinfulness and then lead you to Jesus one day. So when you open the Old Testament, you see an Old Testament, you see a word that's always pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying to these folks in New Testament time, when you came to Christ, let me tell you, you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant. You had no hope. You did not have God. You were without God in the world, and you were far, far off. Talk about separation anxiety. And you know what? That's what that is. That's what that is in the world. It's a separation anxiety from God. We're moving to and fro trying to find fulfillment in life in things that cannot ultimately fulfill. We run after our job. We run after our career. We run after money. We run after relationships. Separate from God. And we're thinking that somehow in desperation, in this far off from God, we don't even realize that's who we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. One missionary called it eternity in their hearts. That no matter where they were, however they grew up, and whatever pagan society they lived in, there was eternity placed in their heart, and they're longing for it. Just like you've longed for it. We were separate. We were excluded. We were strangers. We had no hope. We were without God in the world, far off. But Jesus came, and he preached peace. And when you look at this thought of him reconciling you to himself, guess what else he was doing? He was reconciling the people of old with the people that were new. He was coming and he said, listen, every time you come to Christ, every time somebody comes to Christ, they are suddenly connected to you and me. They're connected. We call it the body of Christ. The dwelling of God is what he says. And what's so wonderful about this is it's no longer just a selfish, me kind of relationship with God. Because we often live that way, don't we? It's about me. It's about me and him. It's about me being forgiven. It's about me being set free. It's about me, about me, about me, about me. Me monsters. No, but it's about all of us. It's about my neighbor. It's about that Jewish person. It's about that Muslim. It's about that Hani person. It's about those who are now far off, excluded, separate. And they're walking in the same separation anxiety. Looking for Jesus. But they don't know that's who they're looking for. But that's who we look for, and that's who we found, or better yet, that's who found us. And he reconciled you to God through Jesus. On that cross, through faith, where he took the hand of God and he took the hand of yours and he brought it together. But guess what? When he took your hand and he brought it to God, he brought it to the countless of other people called the church that he'd already reconciled himself to. That's why we believe in community. That's why we believe in oneness. That's why we preach it. That's why we speak it. That's why we try to apply it to our church. Because community is so important. If I want peace with God, I've got to have peace with my neighbor. And vice versa. That's why we go to the ends of the earth. That's why we go across the pastures and across town and across the counties and the regions. Because there's people. There's people who need Jesus. They need the reconciling work of God in their lives. They need peace. They need this great peace. Now, I want you to turn to Romans now, Romans chapter 5. When God did this great thing for you and saved you, he placed you into the body of Christ. Now, I want you to notice how Paul talks about it about being reconciled to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Now, watch. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just say this for some of us who might be young to the faith. This word justified is a legal term. When you came to Christ, legally, God declared you righteous. You have the righteousness of Christ in you, which makes you one with God, which makes you one with Jesus. It's a legal term. It's justified. He justified you. I know in the English you can have a little word play on it, and you could say, it's justified, never sinned, okay? Just as if I'd never sinned. He justified you in that way. He took your sin and he blotted it out once and for all forever. He took it away. And he took away the guilt of it. He took away the shame of it. So that you might walk in peace with God through Jesus. That you might have peace with one another. Now listen, if you're still carrying shame and you're carrying guilt, is that peace? Look at me. No, it's not. It's not peace if you're still carrying guilt and shame over stuff in the past. Because why? Because he took care of that on the cross. And just as the singing saint said it this morning, he made me whole at the cross. Wholeness came from this great relationship with our great God. So he reconciled us to God. Now, real important. Through whom, verse 2, we've obtained our introduction by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we're exulting in our tribulations. We exult in our tribulations because we know that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope never disappoints because the love of God's been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Now one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Verse 10, for if we were enemies, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Did you notice something? Jesus didn't wait around for you to become holy to save you. He didn't wait around for you to get it right to forgive you. He didn't wait around for you to get just a little bit more notch of maturity on you, and then he died for you. No, he died while you were helpless. He died while you were ungodly. He died while you were an enemy of the cross. He died while you were separated far off. He died for you just as you were. There was nothing that you could do to earn it. There was nothing that you could do to make it. There's nothing that you could do in this life to make sure that you had eternal life or that you had a relationship with God. It had to be God. It had to be him. What's so great about this passage is that you were justified by faith. All he asked you to do is believe him. And he would do the rest. Or actually, all he asked you to do is to believe you, and you realized he already did all the rest. Because he did it at the cross when he paid the redemption price for this salvation. That's not some salvation where you get to, that you got to keep walking in your dysfunction. Because salvation of God is never dysfunctional. It's peace. It's peace. And this peace that God made with you and me is the foundation of peace of mind and peace of heart. It's the foundation of peace when we have conflicts with one another. When we have conflicts with our closest neighbor, our spouses, or our children, to the conflicts of our enemies or our perceived enemies. If you don't have peace with God through Jesus, you will never, ever have peace of mind and heart. Never. And I want to ask you, church. I want to ask you, friends. Do you have peace with God through Jesus? Do you have it today? Through this relationship with God through Christ that comes by faith. You know, I'm going to ask praise team to come on back up. Will you come on back up? We very rarely have an invitation at the end, but I just feel like, you know, we need that this morning. And I'm just going to ask you guys to start playing, and then we'll sing in just a second. But I want to ask you, do you have peace with God? Listen, if you have peace with God, I just believe that the nervous wreck that we can find ourselves diminishes because of this great peace we have with God. And I want to know, church, do you have it today? Have you received the peace of God in your life? through this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. While you were an enemy, separated, he found you. And I want to ask, is there someone here today that's being found by God? Or is there someone in here today that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been found by God, I've received him into my life, I've received him in my heart, but I can't find peace? Worry, fear, anxiety is all over me. And I want to find that today. So what I want to do is, Chance is right over here. Jeanette's going to be right here, okay? I'm just going to ask staff today. Scott, would you just kind of be right here, okay? Craig's right here. Going to be right here in the middle. Just going to sit, just stay right here. If you want prayer today, we're here to pray for you, okay? And I want you to stand, and would you start playing for just a moment? And I want us to go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment. You're here today, and you say, I have been a nervous wreck. And I've allowed all the things of this life that have kind of gone kind of wrong in my mind to overwhelm me and consume me with fear, worry, and anxiety and stress. And I know that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And I want that to be the centerpiece of my emotional life, my mind and my heart. I want that to be a part of my life. And so today I want to come. I want somebody to pray for me and ask God just to remove this anxiety and stress based upon my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship of peace, of life, of reconciliation, so that it would bleed over and overflow into my emotion, into my heart, into my mind, so that I can walk out this peace. Some of you might hear, some might be one or two of you a day, maybe even more, that you wake up one day and you find that you realize, I don't have this growing relationship with Christ, and I need to be reconciled to him. So I'm coming to him today. So we're going to sing this great song again, and that we sang earlier. And I want you to just be in prayer, sing, come to the altar if you need to come to the altar. If you need some prayer, we're here to pray for you. Just however God is moving. Maybe you've got somebody in your life that needs to be reconciled to God. Come down, pray for them today. Maybe you want to come down and just offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Listen, if you come forward here, not everyone's going to think you got a problem. No. You come forward, people will pray for you and know that you're seeking, searching for either yourself or for somebody else. So, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that this word would not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in every life here, every life watching today. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd fill us with this time. And I pray, Lord, for a spirit of humility on those who would grab the spouse's hand, that would come fast, come quickly, to lay it all down for the glory of God today. Oh, what are you worried about, church? What are you fretful about? You have the Prince of Peace living in you. You have been reconciled by our great God. May we walk in that reconciliation as the peace guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together. You come.